We're excited to have our next speaker, Dinah Sanders, author of Discardia, More Life, Less Stuff. A degreed librarian, Dinah has worked many jobs, ranging from library page to software programmer to co-creator of the first online cyberpunk dictionary. For this talk, Dinah will be discussing key principles and numerous practical tips about letting go of everything that doesn't make your life awesome. Please welcome Dinah.
Hey, thanks everybody. So I'm Dinah, and this is my book. Thank you all for coming. What I'd like to do in my brief time on stage today is tell you about the three basic principles of Discardia, read just a little bit from the book, and then give some tips, which I hope will be useful to you here at South by Southwest, on how to keep your hour-to-hour decisions serving your longer-term priorities. So let's start with the essence of Discardia. There are three principles. The first of these is decide and do. When you start to decide, finish deciding and act on it. It's that acknowledging your decision, whether stated or unstated, that makes the real difference here. So a South by Southwest example for this. You're standing in the hall and you're thinking, this hallway conversation is the best thing that has happened to me at the conference so far. At that point, instead of breaking off that conversation and rushing off to the session that you'd sort of thought you might go attend, stay with it. Acknowledge and affirm your decisions as you make them. The second principle is quality over quantity. Discardia is not anti-stuff. It's just pro-awesome. So if the stuff ain't awesome, out it goes. Buy less, buy better, and that includes how you spend your time. So a South by Southwest example is getting more out of the sessions and meetups that you do go to because you actually took a nap in the afternoon instead of trying to hit every slot all day long, every day. And then the third principle is, I think, what sets Discardia apart from a lot of other simplification regimes, frameworks out there, and that is perpetual upgrade. It's frequent action in a direction, not necessarily big action, that makes our lives change. So you don't have to wait until you move house or end a relationship or retire. Why have cleanup routines that only run when you shut down the program, right? You deserve a life you love, so push for it every day. And a South by Southwest example of that is when you get a business card from someone, take a few notes on the back of the card to remind you why you want to stay in touch with that person. You know, what of your goals lit up during that conversation? How is this person going to help you reach them? So make sure that you extract and amplify the quality when you notice it, whenever you notice it. Even in that little way, it gives you better opportunities later. So I'm going to read to you first from Chapter 9, Worrying About Your Bottom. The 80-20 rule. In your work life, or when buckling down to personal projects, it's easy to keep the truly important things from getting done by spending too much time at the bottom of your to-do list. Setting overall priorities is the foundation to making good choices about what to do. You need to know what matters a lot to you to realize when you're wasting time on things that don't. As a general principle, spend 80% of your time on the 20% most important activities. The corollary to this is that 80% of what falls onto your plate is not a priority. That doesn't necessarily mean you can discard it all, but some of it can be scratched off your list and the rest can be postponed until the important stuff is done. What matters most is to be doing something in that top 20% more of the time than not. Acknowledge the allure of completion and resist doing so much quick, busy work that you fail to move your most important projects forward. The hope for an easy win can keep us coming back to our email inboxes to see what has arrived in the past few minutes. Before we spend any chunk of time questing for inbox zero, we need to look for and do the next actions from our actual goals. Picking three most important things. Discardia is a framework. One of the things I frequently bolted onto mine is blogger and author Leo Babauta's idea of picking three most important things for each day. Ideally, these should be derived from the top goals for your top priorities. Pick your three things before looking at email. Then scan quickly for anything that might need to be traded for one of the three you picked, and get to work right away on what matters. This is also a great Friday afternoon exercise. Leave yourself a note on your desk with the three things you want to accomplish Monday, and then start switching into your off-duty thinking by identifying three things that you'd like to have happen over the weekend. Getting stuff out of your head and safely parked somewhere in your system, whether paper or digital, combined with picking today's few priorities, is vastly more productive than perfect fiddly management of all possible tasks. Shiny buckets. As I maintain my list of goals and priorities, one visual image to which I keep returning is a set of shiny silver buckets and big, heavy rubber balls to put in them. The buckets represent my priorities, my core values, and the roles I play, all of which defines who I really am and want to be. The balls are the goals I have right now in relation to those priorities. I can't hold very many buckets at once. Certainly seven would be the maximum, and that would require three hooked on each arm and one handle gripped in my teeth. The more balls I put in each bucket, the fewer buckets I can hold. The ridiculousness of the image of that physical burden helps remind me not to overload myself mentally. I can choose a manageable amount of stuff to be actively working on now, knowing that I will add new balls or swap out the buckets as I finish with these. Having trouble identifying those buckets? Think about who you want to be and about the roles you want to play for yourself and in the lives of those around you. Choose three things you want and three things you don't want in your life. Think big. Don't edit what your heart and gut are telling you. It's the truth of your wanting which will fuel your change in the right direction. Something that sounds little and achievable, of which you basically like the idea, will not lead to as much positive growth as burning for something huge that you're afraid you can never have. You can change your choices later, but choose something now. Pick a road and get moving. Next time you have an option, and we are faced with options all day long, make sure that whenever possible you're going for things that fit the want list and avoiding things leading to the don't want list. Juggling. The details of which top thing to do are insignificant compared to the impact of staying focused on the key stuff. As you meet goals and your situation shifts, the items in that top 20% will change. Things that are currently lower down may move up, and things in the top may move down. Don't stress about these undulations or spend more time maintaining your to-do list than doing what's on it. It's like juggling. Intentionally dropping one of the balls to the ground while kicking a new one up into the pattern isn't failure, it's flexibility. We jump to chapter 26, plugged into the wrong connections. What's coming at you? As you shift your habits to spend more time on what is truly important to you, it will also be necessary to adjust how much of that important stuff you can actually take on without creating new stresses for yourself. Even though you're doing the right things to reduce your load, it can seem as if you're still only able to make so much progress before you get that drowning feeling again. That's when you need to stop setting yourself up for the backlogged life. What floodgates have you opened onto yourself under which you're currently standing, complaining about how wet you are? Certainly, technology is partly to blame for the problem. As Greg Knaus pointed out, the tools I use to manage information have evolved to the point where I can abdicate the tedious process of gathering it all together to them, and they now do a very diligent job of making sure that it's all brought to my attention, endlessly, maddeningly. We live under an avalanche of voicemail, email, TiVo recommendations, feed reader, and social network posts, magazines, catalogs, Twitter links, charity solicitations, books, as well as all of the other to-dos we give ourselves. To escape, you can take the radical move-it-or-lose-it approach and discard everything older than a certain date. However, for most of us, that's a bit too bold. Instead, we can increase the efforts we've already started, reducing the incoming stream and processing that stream more quickly, while adding a new element, completion by deletion. In GTD terms, we can start dropping a lot of things that would otherwise go on our someday maybe lists. Here's the rationale. That magical day when we're caught up on the things higher on the list, either in priority or urgency or both, and get to this stuff, will never come. We are never going to get down to the someday maybe stuff by eliminating everything above it. It's not next in line. It's a parking lot for ideas we might want to reconsider sometime. To do those things, they have to climb back out of that low level and catch our attention again. If they become important or urgent, they will. So pare down your inactive projects list and remove anything about which you no longer care if you forget forever. Then, later, if you're all caught up, you can add it back, or not. Every time you feel guilty over optional inputs with which you aren't dealing, treat that as a reminder to eliminate 10 things taking up your time, energy, or space. Suppose that you had a magic free 20 minutes. Which unread magazine is the last one you'd pick up? Cancel that subscription. Which unread book? Donate it. Unfollow, unsubscribe, cancel, delete, donate, discard. Tune your tech. Use the tech that brings you value and use it in a way that brings value to the people with whom you use it. Twitter is good for keeping in touch, but be sure to populate your list of friends you follow with only those whose updates you really want to see. You don't have to get updates sent to your phone or instant messaging client. As a quick thermometer of what a group of people is doing, Twitter is a nice service. Brief, frequently silly, ignorable as necessary. If Twitter isn't for you, you can or probably are getting a similar effect from your Facebook or Google Plus or Flickr contacts or blog post titles in a feed reader. Bottom line, just because you're friends, it doesn't mean that you're obligated to keep up with the entirety of each other's electronic output. Edward Vialmedi encapsulated this nicely. You can only deal with so much interruption in a day, and if the channels you are tuned into have too much static, remove some of the static. We are biologically attuned to changes in our environment, so be very wary of what you allow to light up with a red flag, sound a bell, or otherwise poke you. Go for quality over quantity. You should also consider the quality of your own output. Vialmedi had a tip there as well. It can be instructive from time to time to tune into your own electronic output and see what kind of droppings you are leaving behind. There is certainly a balance and moderation between tell-all and hermit for each one of us. Examine your output as if you were the recipient you least want to offend and most want to win over. Is it clear, concise, and well-formatted? Share the good stuff in the right amount, or, as Merlin Mann put it, you want to see the web as a party where you bring more beer than you drink. Connect selectively. No matter what the latest information overload panic piece in the news may be telling us, we do have the power to control this and don't need to be broadsided by it. Technologist and longtime blogger Tom Coates translated all the hype for us. Shock revelation. A new set of technologies has started to displace older technologies and will continue to do so at a fairly slow rate over the next 10 to 30 years. Put it like that, and it doesn't seem so hard to handle, does it? We have lots of options in this world, and that's not unexpected or bad. What gets us in trouble is not choosing among them. Be selective about what you want or need to know. Opt out of communication that doesn't make you feel more like yourself, make your day better, or teach you something you need to learn now. So let's go back to that idea of having your hour-to-hour decisions serving your long-term priorities. Identify your current active roles in life and the goals related to them, those shiny silver buckets. Pull back and think about their relative priority. Reflect that prioritization in any system you use to track them. For example, in OmniFocus, I have placed in order 6 folders reflecting my roles with my projects nested inside them. So when I read from the top down, I actually have my projects brought to my attention in my priority order. Daily, identify 3 things to accomplish which serve the top 20% of your list. Do those 3 things before other things. If you spend the first 45 minutes of each day knocking out item number 1 instead of diddling around in email or Facebook or Twitter or whatever else is distracting, it will radically change your accomplishments by the end of the week. And progress is energizing. the act of scratching off number one from today's list will make it easier to spend only a few minutes confirming nothing priority changing has arrived in email before right away going on to complete number two. Can what you do in the next hour really impact achieving your long-term priorities? Yes, absolutely, when you are picking something to do that serves your current top priority. How can you build a solid footing from which you can make decisions about what to do next that you can trust? Acknowledge your decisions about your priorities, goals, and projects, and capture them in a system. Software or paper doesn't matter as long as it works for you. Decide and do. Select a small number of achievable top priority targets for each day, three is best, so you can keep feeling successful and so you have the agility to respond to changing circumstances. Quality over quantity. Evaluate what you're about to do next against the success conditions describing achievement of your goals. If the next prospective task doesn't move you down one of those paths, ideally on one of your very top goals, do something with more payoff instead. Steady progress, even if small, will bring you to your goals faster than hoping for that one giant magic day of huge accomplishment. Lots of nudges in the right direction can add up to more motion than one occasional shove. Perpetual upgrade. And there's your 16-minute nudge. I hope it's been helpful, and I'll be delighted to answer more questions at the signing outside in the South by Southwest bookstore in about 10 minutes. But we have a few more minutes, so I'd be happy to take questions right now if anybody has any. Blind, but yes. Do I have a position on paring down the number of people you follow? Yeah, you can't follow 10,000 people. You can't read every book in the library. You can't see every movie ever made. You can't keep up. It's physically impossible for us to keep up with all the fantastic opportunity in the world. We have to be selective. So celebrate your curation of your life. Having just the good stuff and constantly tuning toward better and better stuff is fantastic. It is amazing. The longer you live with this kind of philosophy, whether you celebrate Discardia four times a year or every day, the more you are evaluating what you're doing or at least noticing when you have those strong signals of, that's noise, I don't need that, I'm not getting anything out of that. Or, yeah, that was cool, more like that, please. And just keep turning the dial, shifting the boat, whatever metaphor works for you. Keep edging it more and more towards awesomeness. And what you are doing is making room for that good stuff to come into your life. That's really the key underlying principle between all of those things that I've talked about, is that as you cut away the stuff that isn't as rewarding as it could be, you are making room for what is. Another question? Yes. Books that influenced my thinking about this. I have a large bibliography at the back, actually. Certainly people I've quoted like Leo Babauta, David Allen, I read a lot in the field, and there's a lot of older traditions that Discardia comes out of, voluntary simplicity, downshifting, cool down, all of these things, even like the slow food movement, and going all the way back to William Morris, who I quote in the book, have nothing in your home which is not beautiful or useful or both. So I tried to cite people as explicitly as possible so that if somebody really gets a lot out of an idea, they can go back to the source on that. Thank you. Another question? Yes. Yes. What about exploration and opportunities for serendipitous discovery? I think that is one of the things that is the biggest reward out of making room in your life. Looking and saying, you know what, this panel isn't grabbing me. I'm just going to go back out in the hall, and running into that amazing person that then you're connected with for years and do great stuff together. That kind of thing where you don't just slog it out. Sometimes there's a payoff to slogging through something, but a lot of times you can really get a good sense from your gut that this is not giving me what I need. You know, I'm on page 50 of this book and I'm not getting what I need out of it. I'm reading this, following this person on Twitter. Turns out the few tweets I thought I liked is not typical for them. I'll unfollow them. So making room for what you want to come into your life necessitates cutting away what isn't working. Yes. Yeah, how do you prioritize things that don't lead to a discrete goal? That's where those shiny silver buckets come in, because there I am acknowledging who I want to be. So my buckets, like if you imagine them with stuff engraved on them, you know, there's Dinah, just me being a person in the world and maintaining my reputation, you know, keeping that woofie up, right? Not being a dick is sort of that bucket, right? And then the second bucket is awesome life partner. You know, what I've figured out over the years is I really like being in a really good relationship. And so I'm going to make that a high priority, to make room for whatever we happen to need in our relationship. And writer has become a more important bucket to me. You know, I used to be software project and product manager. Now that bucket is retired. You know, I have this other one. So having a bucket that represents who you want to be to yourself and to the world lets you make room for that role and that exploration without necessarily saying, and this is going to pay itself off in this project's completion. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I actually played around with how many buckets, how many roles I can handle at a time, and as much as I sort of go, oh yeah, well somebody came up with it and everybody quoted it, I have to say it does keep coming back to that 5 to 7 things you can kind of deal with at a time. I'm actually working with 6 roles right now, and they'll undulate. And what's great is as you watch this, you'll feel yourself paying attention to, I'm wearing a lot of hats right now. I'm carrying a lot of buckets, and maybe I could put more energy into each of them when I don't have so many. So like somebody who's a new parent, they're going to set down a lot of buckets right now. It's like, it's all about that big one with a lot of stuff going on in it. So just play around with what feels right. And when you start feeling that lack of room for the good stuff to come into your life, that's when you know you need to focus. You need to pare down. I think there was another question over here. Yeah. The 6 roles for me right now, there's always one that's just me to myself, my reputation in the world, the sort of core of who I am, why I'm here in the world. And so there's just Dinah. There's awesome life partner, writer. You have to ask me at the table. I'll have to look again. I'm just bright lights. One of them is good citizen. So I volunteer with our neighborhood emergency response team. And so that's something that that's something I've decided to commit to, and I need to respect that I'm going to put time and energy into that and make it visible to myself that that's a role I'm playing. So that's another great thing about if you use OmniFocus or something like it, having those folders that represent your roles into which you put every one of your projects, just that act will make a project that doesn't fit a role stick out like crazy, like a sore finger. you can tell that you've got something there that you're doing for a reason you haven't explained well to yourself. So that exercise is worth it. Sorry, let me just punch that. I think that may be our time warning. Almost. We've got a few more minutes. Yeah. 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 Is there a physical aspect to Discardia? Absolutely. And I actually, the getting started section of the book actually starts with the physical because it is easy for us to work with. If any of you are San Franciscans, I'm going to be talking more about some of the physical stuff and the goals Wednesday at San Francisco Public Library, at the main library. But I just put out a piece for them, which is also on discardia.com, on how do you decide how to let go of books, which is a really huge, hard thing for a lot of us because it can stand in as an avatar for who we are, who we thought we wanted to be. So physical stuff could be very emotionally loaded. But again, it comes back to that principle of little nudges add up. And so especially when you're dealing with anything that's emotionally loaded, and for some people that's books, for some people it's clothes, fine, do 5 minutes. I'm going to go through, or I'm going to pull 5 things that are like, oh, I can't even decide about letting go of these. I know I should get rid of some of these things, like these clothes that don't fit. I'm going to do 5 today, and then I'm done. It's like, success, I could do that. And that gives you the energy to do it again. And you just have to get that regular practice in place. So I've got a ton of tips in here, some of which tie into other things like what I talked about at the Agile Self-Development session last year about running a quick lap, you know, doing a sprint on, I'm going to target this for right now. And that could be really small, like I'm going to pick 5 things, or I'm going to play a record, and during the length of that album, I will work on this project that I've been putting off. Or it could be, for this month, I'm going to focus on this role, and then I'm going to set it aside. So there's a lot of techniques. And again, Discardia is a framework, so I want to give you a lot of tools that you can decide what works for you to bolt on there. And I look forward to hearing more from you all. I'm on Twitter as Discardia. I'm in Facebook as Discardia. And I will be outside at the table. And I would love to hear about how you're letting go of stuff or what you're struggling with. And I thank you all for being here. And thank South by Southwest for having me. Thank you.